My last story is called The Deliverer of the Cave. In 1943, as we have seen, Gergi, the son of the decadent Jewish composer Arnold Schoenberg, was taken off a list of people scheduled for transportation to Theresienstadt. He had found a Schindler, for whom he continued working by the strength of his arm and the sweat of his brow. He didn't look to the right, and he didn't look to the left. He only spoke the most necessary words. He always greeted people in his warm, respectful manner. As the year 1944 wore on, the war gradually but irretrievably approached its conclusion. Day after day, bombs kept raining down on Germany and Austria. On all fronts, one defeat succeeded another. Already, the Russians were in Poland and the Allies in Africa, Italy, and France. At home, just about every family had already received the bad news that the son, the father, the husband had given his life for Führer und Vaterland. By the beginning of 1945, Hitler's thousand-year Reich lay in its last convulsions. The Red Army rolled on, unstoppable, and in April, the Russians reached the Vienna area. Such radio stations as were still in German hands called upon the fighting troops as well as the civilian population to make the most enormous sacrifices. Patriotic admonitions and tales of glory were interspersed with martial music and snappy soldier songs. Bombs were falling everywhere, and Russian artillery began to shell the city of Mödling. The civilian population took to the cellars and air raid shelters. Not far from Gergi's apartment, there was a bunker, actually a cave, that had been made into a shelter. Inside the cave, about 60 women and children found refuge. On this day, early in April, for the first time in years, Gergi left the vegetable store from where he was working. He brought his wife, Annie, and a young girl, Susie, into the bunker. There they should await the end of the war. The fighting had reached the streets of Mödling. German soldiers were still defending each house, each alley. Then the first Russian tanks began to roll through the streets. Gergi had just entered the cave to console his family and bring them some soup. As he was leaving to return to the store, he saw several Russian infantrymen who had just reached the entrance to the cave. These soldiers had no way of knowing, of course, whether or not German soldiers were inside, and already two Russians were taking hand grenades from their belts. Gergi saw this. Immediately, he made for the first Russian. He waved them off with his hands and shouted, "No! Don't throw women, children!" The soldier raised his submachine gun and pointed it at Gergi. "Nicht hineinwerfen!" Gergi screamed again in German, holding up his hands in a defensive gesture. "Don't throw it in! Drinnen Frauen und Kinder!" The Russian still did not understand, but Gergi continued to yell, "Frauen, Kinder!" and placed the palms of his hands on his chest so as to indicate that there were women inside. Then he held his arms in front of him, palms up, like a woman holding an infant in her hands and rocking him to and fro. Now the Russians understood. They talked briefly among themselves. Then one of them grabbed Gergi by the shoulder. He threatened with his finger, "Du bringen Frau, Kind, raus! 2 Minuten, dann Granate! Quickly, Gergi clambered into the cave. It was pitch dark inside because the electric light had been turned off. It wasn't easy to convince the trembling women that they had to leave the shelter instantly if they wanted to save themselves and their children. First, his wife Annie, Susie, and 1 or 2 other women came climbing out, and then, little by little, the rest. Finally, Gergi had to go in once more to be sure that no one was left inside. When he came back out, the Russians threw a few grenades into the bunker just to be on the safe side. The group had to wait for several hours. After the battle noise had finally subsided, Mödling was now firmly in Russian hands. The women and children and Gergi were allowed to go home. His daughter Susie describes Gergi Schoenberg's experiences during the war and indeed his metamorphosis as follows. In 1938, when the Nazi regime began, everything changed. He, who would have liked to remain a child, turned into an old man. Then, during the war, he struggled to keep his family alive. And so from childhood via old age, he became a man. For many years after the war, people called Susie's father Retter der Felsenhöhle, the deliverer of the mountain cave.